Raising kids has never been easy, but it may have never been harder than during these days of social media influence. One of the more sinister trends to evolve out of social media is the rise of challenges or dares that induce young people to try things for social media attention or likes. Those things could be dangerous or even deadly. From this landscape emerged the Benadryl Challenge, a social media trend encouraging vulnerable teens to take massive doses of the antihistamine Benadryl. And teens are falling for the ploy and getting sick. At least one child reportedly died from ingesting the drugs. We look at the viral trend and what can be done to help stop this social media threat. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. It's become a cliche to talk about a parent's worst nightmare, but any parent knows those nightmares are real, and they can come at any moment, including in the middle of the day. For example, a viral video challenge emerged in 2020. Videos encouraging kids to take huge amounts of Benadryl and then film themselves hallucinating. Those cropped up on TikTok. One 13-year-old from Ohio died, a little boy, from attempting that challenge. Many of those videos were removed, but apparently not all of them. And now the Benadryl challenge is back. And, you know, we have a mom here who's been through the experience, her daughter ending up in a situation that no parent wants to find their child in. Nikki Vale, thanks for being with us. And this is not an easy story to relay or share. And why don't we start off with the idea that, you know, your daughter, well, tell us about your daughter. What is she like?
She, to me, what I thought she was like was sort of a late bloomer. She was darling and funny and sort of, you know, kept to herself a lot, was not on social media, painted, was quiet, didn't really get involved in clubs and sports, did things alone like guitar. So she was sort of a lone star and didn't have a lot of friends. But she seemed happy, and she's best friends with her sister, so I thought she was enriched and fulfilled.
And she's how old?
14.
So never had any problems? Wasn't a child that required a lot of discipline?
No.
And then what happened?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it happened very quickly. We started to see a few signs. The last 4 weeks of school, she was hanging around with someone. It was a new friend, and it made her feel really good to have, finally, a friend. But there was a few things in her behavior I saw addressed right away. Then on this night of June 18th, you know, I picked her up and it was evident that you know, she had done something.
June 18th. That's just a couple of weeks ago. It's not that long ago.
Right.
And what was the evidence?
Oh, gosh. I picked her up. First, she texted me half an hour earlier than the scheduled time, which was unusual. But I happily picked her up. She got into my car seemingly fine. I spoke with her. She was speaking, answering questions. Did you have fun? What did you do? We watched a movie. And then she started slowing down. She would turn to me very slowly. Her speech was slowed. And I just said, gosh, what did you do? What did you guys do? What did you take? What happened? Did you smoke something? Did you drink something? Did you eat something? Was it a pill? And she wasn't answering. She was just locked forward, just kind of in this weird state. So I said, was it a pill? I said, did you take a pill? Do you have any more? Can I have one? And she pointed at her bag, which I had checked before she left. I just do that. I'm vigilant that way. And it didn't stop this from happening, but there was a bottle of drugstore brand, big hot pink bottle of pills. I had no idea what they were, but I knew they weren't there when I dropped her off, and I knew she was not well.
Yeah, and to be clear, Benadryl is something you can't get over the counter in a pink box, and so somehow she got her hands on that.
They had walked from this house at around 5:30 or 6, 1 hour down a street with no sidewalks. Apparently, the parent knew that they were doing this. They went to the local drugstore, purchased candy, pop, and the pills, went across the street to a little garden area and took a handful, I'm told, by my daughter, and then got picked up by that parent.
What happened when she got to the hospital?
Oh, gosh. Well, on our way to hospital, when she was in my car, she had a pretty violent seizure, which was, you know, scary. I thought she was dying. But the ER was amazing. We went to UCLA, Santa Monica. I pulled up in the valet, everybody's on it, and I brought the pills, so they had that. So they knew what happened. Unfortunately, she was moving her body so much, she was in this virtual reality hallucinogenic state. The ER doctor said it was the Alice in Wonderland trip that these kids are looking for. And so she was moving around so much they couldn't put something in her throat that would absorb the Benadryl. So it just had to play out. They transferred her to the pediatric ICU at Reagan, where we stayed for 4 days.
So it's her and another child.
The other child did not have these symptoms. My daughter said she had less than her. The parents said she just appeared tired, which was a different story than my daughter had.
And so for your daughter, how long did it take for her to get her senses back?
Oh gosh, I mean, two or three days, really.
Really?
It was so much in her system, and they couldn't do anything. They just had to let her body process it. So it was up all night with the hallucinogen the first night, and then the second day, a lot of that. And then another night awake where the delirium kicked in, and it was actually worse when she was processing it out, because she was stronger and a little more coherent, but very paranoid.
Well, I mean, you know, the bottom line here, really, and we have less than a minute and a half, is what do you tell other moms? How do you talk to people about this thing? And do you think your daughter will ever do this again?
I hope not. I've clarified, pills are the worst. I know you're going to hit some, you know, temptations, but pills are the worst. Talking about peer pressure and social media, having mental health resources at the ready, it took me days and days to find the right places to send her.
So your advice to parents is start lining up things like mental health resources just in case?
I think so. It took the stress, you know, away. I think if it happened to me again, I'd know exactly where to go. I think having no friends is better than having wrong friends. So I take responsibility for kind of...
You know, it just strikes me as I've heard a little emotion here as you've started to, you know, try to explain this, and you're holding it back, but you're still very raw, aren't you?
Yes.
And you still feel what?
Oh, gosh, just disappointed, guilt, responsible. What could I have done differently? Could I have been there for her in another way? Did I spend too much time at work or in my personal life that I missed something?
It's always 20/20 hindsight, isn't it? What could I have done better? Nicole Vail, thanks so much for being with us, telling us your story. Nothing easy about that sort of thing. And coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we talk more about the Benadryl Challenge and the other social media challenges, and discuss with a pediatrician the best way to protect your children. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Let's talk about the actual health threat of these viral challenges that we've been addressing. Back in 2020, when the Benadryl challenge first emerged, the FDA issued a warning about the trend and said in part that taking higher than recommended doses of the common over-the-counter allergy medication, diphenhydramine, can lead to serious heart problems, seizures, coma, or even death. Those are pretty serious consequences for what kids may think of as just a prank. So let's bring in Dr. Catherine Williamson from Orange County Children's Hospital. It's actually CHOC. It's the Children's Hospital of Orange County. And you're a pediatrician, and you've heard a little bit about, you know, what this is all about. You heard Nikki Vail in the last segment talking about her own daughter. And I guess, you know, I'm curious to ask you, because you hear a lot. You're also the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics, right? So that's the Orange County chapter. But still, you hear from a lot of doctors. And so what are you hearing about this particular challenge?
So, yes, Benadryl challenge is back, unfortunately. And as you mentioned before, we saw its emergence in 2020. And I was sad to hear that it has come back. And the reality is it is one of many challenges, and there will be many new challenges that are unhealthy, unsafe, and perhaps even deadly for our adolescents and teens. And there is so much that we can do as pediatricians and parents in the community to keep our kids safe, but first it's important to just talk about it.
This is a serious thing. I hadn't really heard about this myself. And it came, it left, and then it came back. And now, is it back with sort of a vengeance? Is it back sort of in a random way?
It's too soon to say. It's hard to know when these things are short-term viral or they're going to go viral across the country. I think the most important thing is to know that parents should be aware of this and how to talk to their kids about this so they can stay safe.
Is it growing or is it diminishing?
You know, it just came back in the last couple of weeks. So I hope that it's diminishing, but we don't know. It could be growing.
You know, we listed off some of the complications one can have from Benadryl. How dangerous is this in reality?
It can be very dangerous. So two pills is one regular dose for an adult. And the challenge is for kids to take 12 pills, which is an entire dose for an entire day for an adult. And so if a child takes all 12 or even more, cardiac arrhythmias, seizures, and death are a real possibility.
So this sort of a challenge is prompted by social media. And we always hear about social media being, you know, a double-edged sword, you know, having its issues. And I gather we might not have this particular thing if we didn't have a social media. So what's your sort of perspective on social media and something like a Benadryl challenge?
Yeah, I think it's really important for us to think about social media as a tool, because challenges can come verbally from just kids hanging out and talking about it, or it can come from social media. Because social media is a very effective tool, it's a way to get communication out to a broad audience and fast. So it's all about the messaging. If the messaging is to challenge kids to do something really dangerous and potentially fatal, then social media is very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
So it's important that we talk to our kids about, hey, this is a tool, but not everything on there is actually the truth. So let's talk about what you're learning about and what you're reading about.
Have you actually seen a patient, though, that's had this Benadryl challenge impact?
I have not myself in my office, but I know we have in our children's hospitals, you know, in Orange County and beyond.
And what's the worst thing you've seen come into an ER?
Oh, gosh. How long do you have? You know, unfortunately, intoxications, whether it's over-the-counter medications, whether it's illegal drug use, we just see it all of the time. And we have kids who might be suffering symptoms of anxiety or depression, insecurity, body self-esteem issues, the likelihood of those kids having serious adverse reactions is significantly higher because they're much more likely to overdose.
Yeah. You know, I guess it's an over-the-counter drug. So it's not something that's deemed by the FDA to be dangerous enough to lock it up, but you think maybe it ought to be locked up. I mean, they did that with Sudafed, right?
They did. They did with Sudafed, and there may be talk about Benadryl as well, but Benadryl can be very, very beneficial for a lot of different things if taken in a safe, you know, safe dose and at the right times. Any over-the-counter medication taken in excess potentially can be significantly threatening and fatal. Tylenol is a huge one that's very, very dangerous, easy to get, easy access, but can cause liver failure and death as well.
So you're left with the sort of the question of how can kids be protected?
Right. So if we think about social media as a communication tool, and we know that our teens and adolescents are going to be on social media, it's just part of the society that we have now. It's all about content, use, and talking to your kids about it. So, you know, content is really, really important. And there are safeguards on the content that your kids can download and the apps that they can use. So it's important for parents to look into the different social media platforms like TikTok, like Instagram, and others to see what safeguards they can put on them. Use is another thing. Where are kids using them? I think in the home, not having their phone with them at the dinner table, not having their phone with them in the middle of the night at bedtime, they can use a good old-fashioned alarm clock. That's a really important thing. And by the way, parents should also model this behavior themselves. And then the third and last thing is important for everything, including social media, which is just talking with your child about what they're doing.
But the bottom line is that parents, like Nikki Bell, get blindsided. They don't think anything's going on with their kids until all of a sudden something is going on with their kids. So if it's not about the kids but the influence from social media, what should social media companies do?
It's really important for social media companies to be upfront and honest about what kind of content is being shared, and also allow easy parental safeguards for the different social media platforms. There are safeguards, but there needs to absolutely be more.
All right. Dr. Catherine Williamson, thanks so much for joining us. And we'll take some of that advice to heart. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, are you surprised to find out how dangerous Benadryl can be? Other so-called social media challenges can be even worse. We talked to an expert from the National Poison Center about that right after this. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. We've seen a firsthand experience with this frightening Benadryl challenge issue, but it's certainly not an isolated issue. Let's bring in poison control expert, a poison control expert to talk about this. Joining us right now is Dr. Marianne Amirshahi, and she is a professor of emergency medicine and the co-medical director of the National Capital Poison Center. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you've heard a little bit about the Benadryl challenge, and what's your reaction to that, first of all? And are you seeing a lot of calls at your poison center for this?
Yeah, you know, it comes in waves, to be honest with you. I feel every few weeks we're adapting to a new social media challenge, whether it be the Benadryl challenge. Last year there was the one chip challenge, the nutmeg challenge, the cinnamon challenge. And so we're constantly monitoring and surveilling for new trends and overdoses related to these challenges that we're seeing.
Well, you know, we see a lot of challenges. I mean, but there's a huge difference between something like the ice bucket challenge and something like this, where a kid is taking drugs and all of a sudden showing themselves off in public like that. What other things are you seeing?
Well, one of the big things we are seeing with regards to the Benadryl challenge is kids are taking a lot of it. As the previous physician you spoke to mentioned. And what we're seeing is a range of toxicity. So we never know a lot of the times what we're going to get. Sometimes they will start off as just being a little drowsy or slurring their words. Other times they may be very agitated or hallucinating or having seizures. And it's a continuum. So we never really know what we're going to expect with a particular overdose, because a lot of the times we don't know how much the teenager has taken. And so we're kind of left to play detective a lot of the times. Other things, though, that we worry about is kids at parties take pills. And so it could be an oxycodone or a contaminant like fentanyl and a counterfeit oxycodone pill. So we're dealing with a lot of different exposures, and we don't always know what we're dealing with right away because the history may be unclear, particularly if the person is so agitated that they can't speak to us or is seizing or is in a coma.
You know, we hear about some crazy challenges, the Tylenol challenge, the Borax challenge. I mean, you know, what's the craziest thing you've heard?
Oh, well, there was one recently. Actually, it was during COVID times when they had NyQuil chicken. So there were actually recipes online where you could cook your chicken in NyQuil, which I thought was really kind of interesting. But it's amazing how creative people can be. The problem is when you start mixing medications, particularly acetaminophen, or there's other ingredients in NyQuil, you can have different toxicities from each of the ingredients that you're dealing with as well.
What are you hearing from sort of the idea of vaping cartridges, uptick in cannabis edible calls, things like that?
We're seeing a lot of that, and it's largely because there's more of it out there. So we are seeing a big uptake in cannabis calls, particularly in children. And a lot of the reason behind that is obviously there has been a push for decriminalization, legalization of marijuana. And you know, with regards to that, there are different formulations. People aren't necessarily always smoking the marijuana. They have edibles, particularly gummy bears, that look really palatable to children. And the dose can be pretty large, even just one gummy or one chocolate square. I can tell you, I have a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they're never going to eat just one square of chocolate if they see something on the table. So what we do see is kids coming in, particularly young ones, actually comatose from marijuana edibles.
You know, you're in Washington, D.C. at the National Poison Center. We're in California, where these sort of drugs are illegal as recreational drugs. I don't know if that's the case in D.C., but I suppose that if you have more access, you have more problems.
Exactly. So we also have decriminalization, so marijuana is legal. And once again, it's not so much that we're seeing people that have marijuana cigarettes and their kid happens to chew on their marijuana cigarettes, it's they're eating the gummies. And so these are much more popular now and they appeal to children.
And what about fentanyl?
That's everywhere, unfortunately. So what we're seeing nationally is we are getting a lot of calls. And really what we're seeing is people that report doing heroin, when they actually undergo further testing, they do test positive for fentanyl. And what's even more scary is a lot of the pills that we see that are sold as something else, perhaps like an oxycodone or a Percocet, it turns out to be counterfeit, and that actually contains fentanyl, which is even more dangerous because people aren't suspecting it. So fentanyl is definitely making its way into the drug supply, but also for people that aren't expecting it.
I have to ask you, though. We've done stories about Narcan. Narcan is the aerosol inhaler that will help counter these problems. Should every parent have Narcan?
You know, it's not a bad idea, to be honest with you. What we are seeing more and more is an uptake in cardiac arrests and deaths related to primarily fentanyl, but other opioids as well. And adolescents are not immune from this, and neither are young children who get into the parents' medication. So one of the things that they've been pushing recently is having naloxone co-prescribed with opioid pain medications. So for example, the person has it on hand if somebody takes accidentally too much, or maybe the child gets into it. So it's really good to have it on hand, and you never actually know when you're going to encounter somebody that has an opioid.
You're right, though. You never know what you're going to be dealing with, if it's your kid or maybe a neighbor next door. Dr. Marianne Amirshahi, thanks so much for joining us. And Fox 11 News In Depth continues right after this break. Don't go away. Don't forget our podcast. It's called What the How. It's available wherever you get podcasts. And that's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.